Welcome back to RBKD. You can always be a part of the show. You can watch RBKD. Go to hornfm.com, and then you can watch us. That Twitch stream should be wide open to you. Should be able to tap into it. Also, you can follow us via Twitter. I'm at Rod Papers in the Twitterverse. My man Kevin Dunn at KevinDunn01 and John Reichel. Twisting and tweaking the dials on a Soul Train Thursday edition of RBKD. You can hit him up at JS Reichel in the Twitterverse.
Chocolate. That's his new nickname.
Is his new nickname? John's new nickname?
Hot Chocolate. I don't deserve chocolate. That nickname after how little knowledge I knew about the band.
I thought it was going to be Mexican Vanilla.
Hey. Mexican Hot Chocolate.
I bet that is good. I bet that. Is it better than Mexican Vanilla ice cream, though?
I haven't had much Mexican that isn't good.
Okay. All right.
Food, you sicko.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah. With you. You love Latino women.
I do. Latina.
I know. Eva
Latina.
Mendes. Oh, Latino women.
Yeah.
Sorry. Latino women. Okay. All right.
Well, I'm just saying.
All right. Yes.
If you were to get really woke, Latinx, but I have not met one Latino who likes that. So I'm going to go and stick with what they like.
I don't want to get myself in trouble. So, yeah, I'm going to stay out of things that I don't know that much about. Before we get into the DAC conversation here, there is a Big 12 story, at least a Bob Bosby story that has just surfaced.
Yeah, good old Bob.
Now, this is Bob Bosby from Big 12 Media Days, the basketball Big 12 Media Days, which is, I think, maybe ending today, or it was going on earlier this week, but it may be ending. We may be at the end of the Big 12 basketball media days. But you're getting a lot of reports out of Big 12 media
days. So did you ever cover Big 12 media days and have to sit through Bob Bowlesby?
Yes.
And, oh, my God. Bob, the only thing he brought to the table was a cure for insomnia.
Bob Bowlesby was pretty damn boring. He would drag on.
Every game means something.
Very monotone.
And, I can't tell you how excited I am to be the commissioner of the best league out there.
Jeez, Bob's. Paul always jokes on EGAT that the man works 20 hours or 20 minutes a week.
He probably does.
He's had to work a lot more, though. Maybe that's why he's pissed off. But this has been a very vocal out. Bob Bowlesby.
Well, I think he's vocally.
He's hurt.
Vocal because he's upset. And I think he's a little bit embarrassed that this whole thing happened
behind his back and under his nose. That's what it is. Right.
That he didn't know anything about it and it was happening.
That's what it is. I didn't necessarily want to stay with her, but she didn't have to cheat on me behind my back.
Pretty much. That's exactly. Because if Bob Bosley was that concerned about the health of the Big 12 as a conference, then he would have been more proactive as a conference
what
leader.
What was he doing the whole time?
He was not. He was collecting checks. He pretty much was content with the Big 12. And we all knew it was a slow death. The Big 12 was dying.
Yes.
And I thought he was cool with that. But the way he was acting, his lack of, the lack of any plan or the lack of any cohesion or, I don't know, any vision, I thought, he must know that the conference is going to die a slow death and he's going to collect checks the whole time and then he's going to, chunk the deuce in a golden parachute and he'll be done.
The other thing is, if there were two cities he should have just been living in the last 4 or 5 years, and I mean checking up at all times and saying, hey, AD, whoever, let's go out to lunch again. We went out to lunch 2 days ago. On me. We're going to lunch again.
Brunch on me.
Brunch on me. Wherever you want to go. Right. Chris Beard, you want a beer? Let's get that thing in. Right?
Right.
He should have been living in Austin and Norman, knowing that there's two programs that can leave.
There are two programs that are essentially the lifeblood.
Well,
they're the heart and soul of your conference right now. If those two blue bloods leave, you have no value as a Power 5 conference anymore.
No.
And I'm with you. I don't know why. Remember, he was so unaware that this dude, when Oklahoma got the bad time slot for their Nebraska game this year, right? They got the early time slot. And Joe Castiglione was very upset. Went out on social media, on Twitter, called out the networks, and was just, you know what, you guys, I can't believe you shafting us like this.
Do you remember
a great
what Bowlesby
brand.
Said?
And then Bowlesby basically sided with the TV networks.
You know what he said? He said, you signed the agreement. You sign the contract.
And he's like, what are you doing?
I think that was the end for Oklahoma.
I think that was part of it because Joe Castiglione took that personally.
You
think about personal slights? He took that as a personal slight. And all you had to do was go, I agree with Joe Castiglione.
Yep.
The Oklahoma is a great brand and so is Nebraska. They should be prime time. College football deserves to watch this game in prime. If you just said
that. That's all you got to say.
So it wouldn't have done any, it wouldn't have made any difference.
Nothing's going to happen. Just have their backs.
Just have their backs. And you didn't. And now you're paying it. Now, they went behind your back. Because you didn't have their back, they went behind
your
back.
All right. You don't have my back?
Yeah.
I'm behind yours.
That's what
happened. Watch out. Yeah. So Rod's right. He was talking to media because all of a sudden Bob Bowlsby's Chatty Cathy.
Isn't that
and
crazy?
I know.
He's
no.
got a lot to say
Bob
now.
Bob wants to talk. Hey, let me get on your show. I want to talk. Bob, you're not invited here.
You're not invited, Bob.
Too boring. We don't want our ratings to dip. So this is what he said about Texas and Oklahoma departing the Big 12 for the SEC. He said it was silly. He said their chances are better coming through the Big 12.
Oh, man.
You know what? That may be right.
Yeah, of course. We know that.
Right.
We know that already.
We got that.
This is not about that, though.
He said that's a silly part of it. It's not very much money, the difference. And competitively, they've got a better path in the Big 12. It makes no sense. And then he said, maybe it's a story that needs to be written. It's not about the money, and it's not about competitiveness. What is it about? I haven't gotten any answers about that.
That's a direct quote, man.
That is a great quote. And it shows how clueless Bob Bowlsby is.
It's still butthurt.
Because the other quote from yesterday was, I want to make sure I get it right, too, because he's got, I don't want to misquote Bob Bowlsby. But the other quote from yesterday for Bob Bowlsby, and I mean, CB sent it to me, so I'll give CB some credit, was basically Bob Bowlsby saying that here it is, because Brian Davis wrote a piece about it. He believes that Texas and Oklahoma's departure was a, quote, personal betrayal. And this is how those words say a lot about the thought process of Bob Bowlsby, right? He believes Texas and Oklahoma leaving is a personal betrayal. But what he doesn't understand is it's business, Bob. It's not personal.
Right.
It's business. And the reason that it's not necessarily about the money, yes, they'll make more money, but hell, Texas is printing money, as Red McCombs once said. So it ain't all necessarily about the money for Texas. They're going to get money regardless, right? Yes, big money always plays a role, but it's not only about that. And it's not only about how competitive they're going to be in the college football landscape, because yes, I agree with him. Texas has an easier road to the college football playoff through the Big 12. What this is about, Bob Bowlsby, what you don't get is there is a period of uncertainty coming for college sports with name, image, and likeness now transforming the sport as we
You're
know it, right?
It.
With the
Preach.
NCAA deciding that they're going to be hands off when it comes to crucial issues like COVID and like name, image, and likeness. They're persona non grata. They don't even want to be a part of the decision making process. So they have lost a lot of power. And we know because of the Supreme Court essentially taking jabs and taking shots at the NCAA, even through their opinions, we know the Supreme Court is not a fan of the current model of amateurism the NCAA promotes. So it's only a matter of time before somebody brings something to the Supreme Court and they go, thank you for bringing this to our attention. Now we will side with the student athletes instead of the established NCAA order. So with all that being said, we don't know.
And they'd probably phrase it as, we're going to side with the workers that are making you this money.
Exactly, right? The workforce, more so than anything.
You can call them student athletes.
Whatever, student athletes. But what I think what for Texas is about, we need leadership, right? During this period of uncertainty we're about to go through, we need leadership. Leadership that is bold, leadership that has a vision, and leadership that is competent.
Has a concrete foundation.
Yes, and has the ability to execute that vision. And the Pac-12 doesn't have that with Kliavkov.
No.
Right? The ACC doesn't have that with their new commissioner. He's relatively new.
Kevin Warren in the Big Ten.
They already showed during COVID that they don't really have competent leadership in crisis situations, right?
And I think Texas may have actually been seriously looking at the Big Ten. I think that ended any of that.
Yeah, because it's like, we can't plant our flag here when this commissioner can't even figure out what he wants to do about COVID. Right, and made some.
And you
mistakes.
Said you're not playing, and you thought everyone was going to follow you. And what did you end up becoming? A follower,
pretty much. Yeah, and that's why you need bold leadership in this time of uncertainty. And if you look at it, Greg Sankey offers the only option for bold, competent leadership.
You know, I'm not super fired up about the move, but I understand it
exactly because nobody else would have given you that option. So that's what it's about, Bob Bowlsby, and you don't offer bold, competent leadership.
No,
sorry,
there's
Bob. There's nothing bold or competent really about
competent
your leadership style
or so, leadership about
yeah.
you.
So that's why they went with the SEC. They just need to be in a safe haven when the fit hits the shan and college sports as we know it totally transmogrifies and transforms into something that we really don't even know what it's going to be. We have no idea.
And some of this is about TV contracts, too. He went on to say, I mean, there's more quotes you get out of Bowlsby than any other time. He said, this is talking about kind of ESPN rejecting the conference's overtures to renegotiate their deal mm-hmm. before it expires in 2025. He said, that's what's so silly. It's ESPN's prerogative to say they think it's too early to start negotiating. They didn't say they didn't want to be our partner. They didn't say our value was going to go down. They didn't say anything derogatory about it at all. Bob, read some writing here.
Come on, Bob. Yeah, I think he is trying to be ignorant. I think this is intentional ignorance.
That's exactly what it is.
Bob Boseman is not this clueless. He's smarter than that.
It's like, yeah, anytime you act obtuse, kids will do that. Kind of the Eddie Haskell.
It's a great point. Yeah, exactly.
What are you talking about, Mom? You know exactly what I'm talking about. You're a lot smarter than that. Yeah. Cut it out. I just caught you.
That's what we should be saying to Bob. I was like, Bob, come on.
Come on, Bob.
Quit playing you're ignorant here and that you're the victim here, Bob. We know, you know, that you basically, I think that he ignored a lot of his responsibility as a conference commissioner, and I think he did it to the point where Texas and Oklahoma decided, we got to get out of here, we got to jump ship. I think Texas and Oklahoma gave him a chance, and I think if he would have expanded the footprint of the conference, I think if he'd have took, and you know what, I say that, he actually did have one, he had a bold leadership moment. Remember, Bob Boseman is the reason we had college football in 2020.
He was part of it.
Because the ACC and the SEC were determined they wanted to have college football, the Pac-12, and the Big Ten, they didn't really want to start college football during COVID.
Notre Dame saying they're going to the ACC up there in that Big Ten area was big. And Boseman was part of it.
And everybody was waiting to say, well, the Big 12 is going to be the tiebreaker. What does the Big 12 decide? And Bob Boseman decided, all right, we're playing. And that's pretty much why you got college football. So bold leadership there. But not enough.
Dennis Dodd, who wrote this article, came out about a couple hours ago, said those conference commissioners have also made veiled comments about uniting against the SEC's growing power with the addition of Texas and Oklahoma. Here's what Boseman said. Yeah. I understand why they didn't have us be a part of it. They're concerned about antitrust considerations circling around the SEC. The other reason is we're losing members and we weren't in a position to make a commitment. All right, that's probably the most honest thing he said throughout all of that.
That they were losing members and not in a position.
He's saying, why were they part of the alliance? Yeah.
Well, because you're not a Power 5. You're not necessarily a Power 5 conference anymore because you lost your two blue
ones. Yeah, that's what he said, is we're losing members. So.
Yeah, so I think that's basically what it came down to. You don't have the cachet to be a part of the alliance, which life comes at you fast.
It does come at you fast. So Bob Boseman.
Taking some shots. You know what? Hey.
And about the path thing, he is right.
He is right about that.
Now, if they go to 12, he may not be right, but he's right now.
Yeah, he's right about that. Every Longhorn fan knows that.
Yeah, really get that. Look, it's been a tough path in the Big 12, so we're not idiots.
I mean, Texas has won how many Big 12 titles? Three?
Three.
Three Big 12 titles.
Three since the inception in 96.
The inception of the league.
Two with your dynastic run, if you want to call it that.
And I think Oklahoma has, what, like 13 or 14?
You got 31.
I'm serious, 13 or 14, something crazy like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, to that point, it's like, well, you're not winning Big 12 titles now. So, okay, you might as well go compete in the best conference in the country and also make more money and still not win conference titles.
All right, I got one more quote for you you're going to love. Bob Boseman said, there's no such thing as a Power 5. The media likes Power 5.
Wow.
We don't really ever use the Power 5.
Come on, Bob. Really, Bob? Oh, now the Power 5 is a myth?
Didn't exist.
It's a figment of our imagination. That's
man.
Right. Okay. It's like time.
Right.
You're going to get real deep on
it. Yeah. It's like time. Humans invented it. It's not real, though. It's not air.
Bob Boseman.
It's in oxygen and water.
The philosopher.
Yes,
who
sir.
Knew? Okay.
I certainly didn't.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
That is.
All right. Let me tell you about if you want to maybe just stop thinking about that and forget the day. Miller Lite would be a great way to do that. The ultimate light beer, 96 calories, only one more calorie than Ultra. Your Cowboys have the week off. Good for them. They're kicking some serious butt right now. The official beer of the Dallas Cowboys, that would be Miller Lite. So if you're rooting the boys on, maybe you're rooting on your Astros.
Go Astros!
You can do that with the ultimate light beer. That would be Miller Lite. It tastes great. It's less filling, and it is exactly what it says it is, which is it's light. So go enjoy some Miller Lite. Please do that responsibly. All right, speaking of Houston, quickly here, just to kind of recap Deshaun Watson, we have a November 2nd trade deadline. Mm-hmm. Rob, this thing, it feels like that it's in motion right now. And they also, I like anytime you have an end date, right? and that can usually speed up the process. We have an end date in season right now.
Yeah, you got November 2nd trade deadline, and you know, multiple reports saying that I believe John McClain was one of the first. Also, Mark Berman. Why don't I call him Mark Roberts? Mark Berman of Fox 26 in H-Town. He said that a deal with Miami was imminent this week or before the trade deadline, which is November 2nd. John McClain backed up that report, too. But it looks like there has been a bit of a stall in those negotiations. Multiple reports coming out of multiple different cities is that nobody really wants Tua, and that's the problem. The report from, I believe it was Aaron.
Tua's got to be thinking, so Deshaun does all this, and yeah, people wanting him.
Yeah, you're right. 22 civil lawsuits against him.
And I'm part of the deal, and I'm the issue?
He is right now.
He is.
It's crazy. Aaron Wilson.
Nobody wants him.
Aaron Wilson reported that there are other moving parts in this deal, the trade between the Texans and the Dolphins, but also reported that Tua was not going to Houston, that his reports, his sources were telling him that Tua to Houston was not part of the deal. And then we had multiple reports, one from Mike Kliss from, he covers the Broncos there in Denver, saying that the Broncos were also not in on Tua. And that was in regards to a report that there was going to be a three-team deal formulated to try to trade Tua to get draft capital back to Miami so that they can meet the price tag, I should say, of Deshaun Watson's trade, which was three first-round picks, allegedly. So Cody Davis also covers Washington. He says that Washington was also one of the third teams involved. And then J.P. Finley, who also covers Washington, he said he heard from his sources that Washington was a hard no in the trade scenario because they did not want Tua. Also, like they also were out on Tua, so it seems like Houston doesn't want Tua.
This reminds me of fantasy sports, and I'm the worst at this, trying to unload guys. And I'll talk to every single team, oh, yeah? Every single GM in the league. They're like, we don't want Kiki Hernandez.
Nobody.
What? Well, guess what? You guys were wrong. This was a couple years ago.
Don't you want Kiki?
You want Kiki now. I told you you wanted Kiki.
But apparently, nobody wants Tua. And the Athletic is reporting now because they are looking for a third team to try to make this this three-team deal go down, that Philadelphia and Carolina are also now in discussions with the Texans. The belief is that these rumors about the trade between Houston and Miami could have been a bit of a smokescreen.
Okay.
Because the Texans just want to flush out other suitors.
Gotcha.
Right? And if they think that, oh, Deshaun Watson's about to be traded, it's imminent. It's happening.
Right.
Oh, it's going to happen. Then if you really want in, you need to pick up the phone and make a call.
And these other teams are waiting. I understand why.
They're waiting.
Because there's 22 allegations, and we don't know if it's going to be criminal. We don't know if Goodell's going to suspend him for a whole year. Right, we don't know about any of this.
None of that. We don't know. We have no idea.
Which is also why that's part of my trade. If I am trading for him, hey, man, if he's in the pen for 3 years, we got to have some.
You should get some draft capital back.
We should get some back.
Yeah, you got to give me if I give you three first rounders and he
too big of a risk.
Yeah, and he is suspended for a year or ends up going to jail. You got to give me a first rounder back, maybe a first and a third. I agree. I put that stipulation in there.
Yes, I think that was the talk about a month ago.
I would put that in.
People were saying, you know, we may give you three first rounders and two second rounders, but
I'm getting a first and a second back in there. If he goes to jail.
Yes.
Like, sorry.
Yeah. If we don't see him till he's 30, guess what? We're getting something back.
Yeah. Well, we don't know about the criminal complaints.
We have no idea.
We have no idea. And you're right about Roger Goodell. Still don't know about that either.
I think you hit the nail on the head, though. He suspended Zeke. No, there was nothing criminal there that was filed. I'm not saying what he did was right. Yeah. I don't honestly know exactly what he did. They didn't charge him. And was that six games?
Six games. Initially, I think they got an appeal, and I think they got it reduced. But initially, it was six games.
So this is a whole season.
That's what I'm thinking. 22 different allegations. 22.
Yeah.
Come on.
With this movement in this era.
In this era, post Me Too, he's gonna be gone for a season.
He's gone.
Only 25.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
And
he's
just
only 25.
Him out for a season, he still get a franchise quarterback at 26 or 27.
These guys are playing until they're 40 now.
And he's under
at a high level.
The Texans just signed him to a contract a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Remember, he just signed a brand new deal. You got him under contract for 4 or 5 years.
Which is gonna be a sweetheart deal. These things continue to go. You said it at the time. You said this is going to be a great deal eventually.
Well, it's like the Dak deal for the Cowboys. That's going to be a great deal now.
Yeah.
Because now Dak is playing like the best quarterback in the league.
Yes, he is. Dak is balling. All right, we'll get into our Supreme Lending picks. So we go. Let's go, Rod.
Ooh.
We need a big week. We need a four and one week. I would like 5-0. We're going to break down some football coming up next.
Might be the most underrated, one of the most underrated artists, I think, in music history.
Whoa.
Oh, Stevie Wonder does not get enough props.
I mean, you know I'm a Stevie Wonder
Stevie Wonder gets no.
I went to ACL one year just because of Stevie Wonder.
Yeah. People talk about all-time greats in music. They never mention Stevie Wonder. He never gets mentioned. Probably should. He's kind of like the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar of music. Just doesn't get enough love for his accomplishments.
Both have the glasses.
Both have the glasses.
Stevie's got better vision now.
Well done.
Stevie's got better vision.
All right.
I'm only going to like him more if I find out that he could see this whole time. Like, really see.
Yeah, well, it have to be like a grave, like on his grave. It'd have to be an admission like that. He's literally about to die, and he's like, guys, I could see the whole time. And he'd be like, that's awesome, Stevie. We love you anyway.
Gotcha, B.
Yeah.
All right, you got me.
You know what would be a crazier thing?
You got me.
If Jabbar comes out and was like, hey, guys, guess what? I was blind the whole time.
I couldn't see. Told you I was a goat.
That's
told
hilarious.
You I'm the greatest of all time. Yeah. I was blind the whole time.
Skyhook couldn't even see.
Good job, John. That was funny. Well done. All right, we got our Supreme Lending picks. And how did we do last week? Were we 3-2 last week? I believe we were 3-2 last week.
You saved us on. I was so awful last week.
No, you weren't awful.
You probably got all three.
And I probably gave
us the two.
I saved us on one because I think you wanted to renege on the BYU Baylor pick.
We both picked
Baylor.
What a dumbass.
And then you started feeling BYU a little bit, and I said I would change it, and I basically lied to you.
Yeah, thank God. And I finished post-game, and I'm going through all these games. Alabama hadn't covered yet, and I hadn't gotten the over-under or the under with Ole Miss and Tennessee. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to lose my ass this weekend. and I've already gotten killed and beat the pluck. I hope people aren't taking my advice with this because I've been hot this year, and Rod goes, I got good news for you. He goes, good post game, and also I saved us. I didn't make the change.
I did. Well, I really forgot, and it was too late for me to email Angie.
Whatever.
And I was like, you know what? We felt good about it. Who cares? And they won. I was like, thank you.
Yes.
They lost. I felt like, oh, I felt so bad. KD would have been like, hey, bro, what happened to that Baylor pick?
I know.
Sorry, KD.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. Like, I don't mind if it's a close game. Like, they got their asses handed to them. It was worse than the score. Like, Baylor,
I was surprised.
Getting back to the offensive line, that's a physical football team.
No, they are, man. They're physical.
Abram Smith?
The running back.
Yeah.
Who was a linebacker last year. They moved in the linebacker last year. And then now he is, dude, I want to say at this point, he's right in front of, okay, Abram Smith.
I bet you he's leading the Big 12.
He's second in rushing yards in the Big 12. To Bijan?
To Bijan. Okay.
He's behind me. But he's second in yards per carry to Zach Evans. 7.4 yards per carry. He is killing it. And like I said, that Pro Football Focus.
Go back and listen to Rod's rant and then put all that in your head.
Yeah. Oh, no, dude. I'm not joking. I'm scared. I got a bad feeling about this Baylor game.
So,
I know we're a week away.
So if this is Saturday, you're picking Baylor.
I'm leaning Baylor right now. That's not good. I'm not happy about it. I'm doing more research so I can try to pick Texas. So I'm gonna do more deep diving. But right now,
I don't think there's enough research.
I'm telling you, man, the early evaluation of this thing. Baylor's a good team.
Yeah.
Longhorn fans have no idea how good this Baylor team is. They're good.
Yeah. And it's not just outside zone. It's wide zone.
It's wide zone. They're going more wide and more outside than Arkansas did or than Oklahoma State did.
Yeah.
and
I didn't realize you can get wider.
Their offensive line is better. I know it sounds crazy. Their O line is better than Oklahoma State's line.
Mm.
Their line is it might be better than Arkansas's line. That O line is good. Think about this. This is what Longhorn fans got to remember. Remember this, Longhorn fans. the older veterans on this Baylor team were coached by Matt Rhule.
Oh, yeah.
He develops talent really well. He develops it quickly. That's why he had a turnaround at Temple in 3 years, had a turnaround in Baylor 3 years. He turns around things quickly because it doesn't take him five recruiting classes to start developing talent like Texas coaches.
How dare
so
you? Five?
Yeah, he's exactly. Well, sorry,
I'm
not
doing five. Yeah.
Nine.
Shout out to Moore. Nine.
But no, see, so to keep that in mind, they're like, oh, well, Dave Aranda's only had 1 year with him. Really? No. They were being developed by one of the best coaching staffs in college football with Matt Rhule. And
it's a great point.
With Phil Snow.
So your redshirt junior guard.
Right.
Yeah.
And what was Matt Rhule? What's Matt Rhule? What's his? He's coached a lot of positions. Coached offense, defense. He's
but
got
offensive
the
line
out, but
is
he's
a, really the his
That's his
main
bread
thing.
And butter. He's an O-line guy. So to me, this talent has been developed really well by Dave Aranda and Jeff Grimes in real time right now. But don't forget the last couple of years, it was Matt Rhule developing that talent. That's what scares me.
That's a good point, man.
Yeah. That scares me. Anyway.
Well, I appreciate it. Let's get to the picks here.
We were 3-2 last week, just for the record. 3-2. We lost the Florida pick because we picked LSU. We picked Florida. LSU won the game.
I mean, who would have seen that coming?
Yeah, I did not at all. We got the A&M pick right.
LSU
the
fired their
right.
coach after the game.
Yes, that's true. That's a good point.
And they won.
What the hell, man? That's crazy. And then the Chargers. We lost that pick. The Chargers-Ravens pick. The Ravens put an old Testament-style butt-whipping on the Chargers.
If you're going to lose.
That was...
We didn't have to sweat that one out.
No, I did not see that coming. That's why I didn't feel bad about that one. You're right, because that just turned out to be a butt-whipping of epic proportion. So we end up being 3-2.
Okay.
And now we're 17-13. We have the best record at the horn, but we have the We're tied for the second best record overall. How about this? Bob Cole is winning.
Bob Cole?
19-11. Bob Cole balling right now. You talk, give Bob Cole some
Bob's
credit.
Funny because Bob and I'll talk, especially during baseball season.
Bob will take his picks seriously, though.
He does.
He does. Like, yeah. I know he does.
Look, Kevin, I don't know baseball like you do. And he'll like set it up, and then he'll give like this amazing baseball point. I go, Bob, stop telling me you don't know baseball.
Exactly.
You know baseball.
You're doing some research on something.
Yeah. You're also there for every game. You've seen a million pitches.
No, you're right.
His
about
son's
that.
Actually a scout in the minor leagues.
Really?
Bob's son is, yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Bob knows.
Hey, Bob knows his
Bob
stuff.
Bob knows sports.
Yeah, he knows his stuff. But yeah, so I didn't expect the Ravens. They beat them. They beat the Chargers 34-6. It was the largest win in franchise history for the Ravens over a team with an 80% winning percentage. So they've never beaten a team that good that bad either.
I wonder if that's going back to the Browns. It couldn't be, dude.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, got the staff from ESPN Stats and Info. So, yeah, it goes around. So, anyway, that's our record. So, now let's get to this week's picks. Shout out to Angie, who actually, and Angie's, she like sent us like the graphics and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, Angie's a big
Angie's
time.
Angie's making Amanda look bad.
No, she's not.
I'm kidding.
That was not cool. But we miss Amanda. But anyway, Angie's doing a good job sending in the picks. So the first college game is Oklahoma State at Iowa State. We've talked about this. Number 8, Oklahoma State is the underdog in this matchup on the road versus Iowa State. What are your thoughts, brother? Where are you leaning?
And this is straight up.
This is straight up. We're not talking about the line. It's straight up.
I'm leaning Iowa State.
I know you are. I can tell.
And you're leaning Oklahoma State.
I'm leaning Oklahoma State. You're leaning Iowa State.
Okay, Iowa State, I think, has a better defense than Oklahoma State.
This is true.
I think Oklahoma State's a good team. But if they've got a really solid, sound defense and you force Spencer Sanders, what did we talk about all last week, Rod? All last week we said Texas has to put them in third and long.
Yep.
And once again, I'll say go back and listen to Rod's rant. You'll just hear the numbers. Not that your eyeballs didn't tell you, but... It was drastic how Oklahoma State was able to be one-dimensional and just cave in the edges and win that thing, even when they were down in that game. I don't think they're going to be able to do that. I don't trust Brock Purdy, but I trust him more than I do Spencer Sanders.
You might be right about that.
Now, you convinced me on Oklahoma State.
No, I mean, it's because I agree with you. Iowa State's defense is better if you look at all the metrics. And I will say this, too. I think Iowa State might have a better offense.
I think they do.
Than Oklahoma State.
I'm just not buying Oklahoma State.
Let's go with Iowa State.
Okay. And they came in here and whipped Texas and beat them fair and square. So
let's go with Iowa State.
They're better than Texas.
I'm leaning Oklahoma State only because of the mojo, and it's probably recency bias because I haven't watched Iowa State since they basically were melting down in the early part of the season.
They're actually getting their ass together.
They are getting it together. I've read a few things about them. So let's go Iowa State.
Okay.
I'm cool with that.
And what do they do traditionally?
They're better at the end of the year than they are at the beginning.
They get better.
And now they don't have the expectations.
They're much more comfortable.
That have really kind of imploded their season.
They're much more comfortable.
Yeah. This is where you belong, Iowa State.
Yeah.
This is where you belong.
Yeah. Really, I mean, Eminem doesn't live there anymore, but he probably still feels more comfortable when he's in 8 Mile.
Exactly.
Than the bougie neighborhood with million-dollar houses he lives
in. Eating mom's spaghetti.
Yeah.
All right. Kansas State at Texas Tech.
I have no effing idea what this
game. Tech. K-State's defense is better, but Texas Tech's offense is better.
It is. How healthy is our boy, Skylar?
Skylar Thompson.
Can he run?
I don't think he can run, because he's still got that brace.
No, you're talking about injury here.
I like Chris Klieman as a coach. Still got Deuce Vaughn. How does Texas Tech stop Deuce Vaughn? You know they can't.
Let's go with K-State. Where is that game again?
It's at Tech in Lubbock.
Okay.
Let's just wait. We can wait on that one. Right now, where are we leaning? Are we leaning K-State?
I think we're leaning K-State. Let's wait on that.
Let's do some more research on it. Clemson, Pittsburgh.
We'll give you an answer tomorrow.
This is why I need your expertise. Clemson, Pittsburgh.
Pitt.
Okay.
Kenny Pickett.
Yep.
What if I was
right. You sent me a Kenny Pickett article, too.
What if I told you this preseason, that when Clemson and Pitt play, it's not DJ Uiagalelei who's going to be the Heisman contender.
Oh.
It's Kenny Pickett.
Whoever the Pitt quarterback is.
Pickett.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's true. You know what? I'm with you. I'm glad you went that way, because you've been anti-Clemson all year long, overrated, and you've been right.
Clemson has daddy eating sushi. Clemson has been the easiest bet. This is the first time.
You've been on that bandwagon.
I bet against them all year.
All year long.
They're under is always good, and bet against them.
Yeah, no, you've been milking it, and you've been right on the money, man.
They've also been a favorite every game.
Because everybody's going with the preseason expectations.
They were like 17-point favorites in some of those games. I was laughing with you.
You were.
What are you talking about,
man? You were mocking it, man. And even Vegas was very wrong. My man KD was right.
Vegas was late.
Bengals at the Ravens. NFL game.
What do you think about it? Obviously Ravens, right?
Yes, yeah,
let's not overthink this.
I like what Joe Burrow's doing.
I do, too.
We're going Ravens from that.
We're going
especially
Ravens.
Especially after pounding the Chargers.
Yes, we're
at
going
home,
Ravens.
And they're getting healthier.
We're going Ravens.
Kansas City at Tennessee.
Whoa, this is going to be a fun clash of styles.
It is. And at Tennessee coming off that big win over the Bills. So they're feeling good about themselves.
I feel like we've gone with KC, and we keep on saying that it's because they have to do it right now. Maybe they just don't have the parts to do it right now.
I know. They're on the road, too.
They're on the road. They've been sloppy as hell, man.
Their defense has been bad. They benched their one of their starting safeties, too.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, Sorensen.
Yeah, Eric Sorensen.
Yeah, they benched him. Yeah, well,
I know you're not happy about it.
Well, you know, I'm
what are there like
the
two white safeties left now in the league? Starting.
But yeah, I'm with you. I'm leaning Chiefs, but we can put that one on the back burner for tomorrow, too.
So we're leaning K-State, leaning Chiefs. Those will be the two.
We'll do some research.
We marinate and we'll look at it. Yeah, I'm doing all my really, I kind of had a weird week, so I'm doing all my research tonight.
Okay.
And so I'm gonna give you some locks. I'm gonna give you some good stuff tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll do some more research, but I'm with you. I like your Iowa State pick. I like the Pitt pick. I like the Ravens pick. Figure out the rest tomorrow.
Iowa State's favored by 7. I don't know point wise.
I don't know about
tomorrow.
I don't
what
know about
I'm going to do with
covering
that?
Because
I may take Oklahoma State.
Matter of fact, I got a stat about that number when we come back.
Beautiful.
About that,
we'll give you that and tell you what's on tap.
All right, this is a quickie in and out. Longhorn Weekly with Chris Beard coming up next. Debuts at Pluckers. It's live. So
yeah.
Get over to Pluckers right there, the Rio Grande location.
2222 Rio Grande. Longhorn Weekly with Chris Beard. Buy him a beer. For John, Rod, I'm Kevin. Peace, y'all.
Peace.